getting out of the house with this. This still there. But that's okay. I'm glad. I'm glad they're still there. But your outlook on life changes. But as you get older, you know, now when I think of getting out of this world, it's no longer because of what's going on in Egypt or in the Middle East. I mean, to me, there's no surprises there. I'm not surprised. You know, the groundwork has been laid. And it's no more to get away from the high price of gas, which is going to give me a heart attack, especially now that I got a truck that uses gas. I don't look to get away from those problems anymore, but I mean, you know, the Lord wants to take care of them. That's okay with me. I'm not going to complain about it. I more look, I want to get out of this world because I want to be at the feet of Jesus. That's where I want to be. And I remember when I first got saved, the first thing that I used to try to picture was the throne of grace. Seeing God on that throne and the heavenly host and everybody gathered around the throne. And I just say, oh man, I just want to be at Jesus' feet. But you know, after listening to Pastor preach the last Wednesday night he was here, it kind of burst my bubble a little bit on that. It kind of changed the way I think. You ever wonder if maybe your rewards might be how close you get to that throne? How often, you know, I sometimes picture this big, big amphitheater. And then I look at my life and I figure, shoot, man, I got the nosebleed seats. I often wonder about that. But after listening to Pastor, it kind of changed my thought. When I first was saved, I used to think, oh my gosh, I just couldn't believe that I got in. I couldn't believe that I'm saved. That at that point in my life, man, that was good enough. That's all I cared about. I would have been happy being a PLO. You know what a PLO is? A permanent latrine officer. That what I used to think, I don't care, I'm in heaven. If there were toilets, I'd be happy to clean the toilets. But you know, that's the way you think when you first get saved. You know, in Revelation in chapter 17, in verse 14. Yeah, it's a tough place to start. Look in verse 13. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings. You notice how the capitalization changed. King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. When Pastor first read that, the last time I was here, I thought, wow, oh boy, whoo, that's good. And I always remember Pastor Mel saying, man, when we come back, I'm going to be on the second horse to the right. And I used to think, oh yeah, boy, I'm going to be right behind you, boy. I used to picture, I used to have dreams about the war Armageddon and having that guy take the sword and go right through you. And like, yeah, nothing happened. But you have to listen to the pastor preach. Nah. It's not the same. It's not like that at all. There's a definite difference, and I'm not going to change anything that he said, but it really affected me. There's a big difference between called, chosen, and faithful. Didn't take much for my mind to change. You know, the Word of God will change every little idea and every little self-will that you have. Happens every time. You know, that part about faithful. When he hit that part about faithful, I mean, I got the call. Yeah, man, easy, piece of cake. The chosen. Yeah, okay, I can read that. I can understand that. But when he got to that part about faithful, boy, I mean, that hit home. For me, that hit home hard. And that kind of buckled my knees spiritually. And if any of you guys want to come to Taekwondo, boy, you learn about your knees getting buckled. I mean, you could take a shot, you could take a hit, but when somebody hits you in the right spot, just the right way, man, I mean, your knees buckle. Never want to be a boxer, let me tell you. But that kind of, that affected me. Affected, I had to do some real self-examination. When you get hit with a hard shot, hard enough to buckle your knees, you know, it kind of quakes through your whole body. And a lot of times that's what the Word of God does. When you hit that point of faithful, man, you could have knocked me over with a feather. I had to really sit back and take a look at myself. Go to Luke chapter 18. I'm just going to take a look at a few of those points. You know, that part called. When you get called, when you receive the call, it's easy. It's the easy part. We make it complicated. It's easy part. All you got to do is answer the phone. Answer the call. That's the only thing you need to do. Simple. Like I said, when you first get saved, you're just happy you're saved. That's all that's on your mind. Woo-hoo! Whoopee! Man, I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. I don't have to worry about it. It's taken care of. But if you look in, what did I say? Luke 18. Look in verse... verse 9. It says, as Jesus speaking, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican, I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess, and the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. The call part is easy. It's simple. The one guy was relying on what a good guy he was. Judging other people, comparing himself to everybody else. But the guy who was justified was the one who just said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. I don't know how you got saved. That's how I got saved. Be merciful to me, a sinner. That's all it takes. That's all it takes when you call. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2. Just going to lay some groundwork. First Peter chapter 2. Verse 1, it says, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envy and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. And if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. You know what? When you first get saved, that's where you are. That's where you are. That's the beginning. That's the called. Be merciful to me, a sinner. Desire the Word of God. The sincere milk of the Word. problem is, you know, we get that call and sometimes we never leave that baby mentality. Go to 1 Corinthians 13. Verse 11 says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Go to Isaiah 43. No, don't go there yet. Never mind. One of the problems we have as Christians, just as we grow up as children, we don't like to let go of the childish things. You know, you have the little kids and they have, what do they used to call them, babas or pacifiers or whatever. You try to get that away from them, wean them off it. Boy, that's tough. Or if they had a favorite stinking rabbit or a teddy bear, whatever, they'd hold on to that thing till it would rot away and fall apart. Or they had a blanket. Or, you know what, dopey dog just tried to get rid of one of his toys from when he was a puppy. Forget it. But you got to let go of those things. You can't stay a baby. You can't stay a child forever. And that's where we are when we're called. When you're called and you become a Christian, what do you know? I don't know. You know, you like the guy that was born blind, and they brought him before the Pharisees, and they asked him about this. He says, hey, you know, I don't know. I don't know much. All I know is I was blind, and now I see. That's all he knew. That's all the doctrine that he knew, whether he's a sinner or not. I don't know. You don't know a whole lot. We're a babe. We're a babe in Christ. And sometimes we like to stay that way. It's comfortable. It's comfortable there. Go to Hebrews chapter 5. Verse 11. We'll start there anyhow. It says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full aged, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Our problem when we don't want to grow up, when we want to stay just in that area of being called, you know, we become kind of dull of hearing. You need to be taught again. All of you, I mean, how many times you got to be taught as a child? How many times did I think I stuck my finger in the electric socket? Because I had to be taught again. How many times does the Lord still deal with me now and I think, I get so annoyed at myself. Didn't you learn that yet? How many times do I have to learn the same thing over and over? And if you don't grow up and you don't try to get out of that area of just being called, you got to be taught again. You're still on baby food. It says the sincere milk of the word. You never become ready for strong meat. We have to get out of that baby mode. Never become, it says, never reach full age. That's the result of holding on to childish things. Now we go to Isaiah 43. We're getting there. just like there's dispensations, you know, we have dispensation of the law, you know, and dispensations of grace. When you look at that called, that chosen, that faithful, it's almost like a dispensation. You can't stay in that called stage forever, because you're never going to grow. There's a transition between called and chosen. Look at verse 7. It says, I'm in 43, right? No, I'm in 44, that's why. Everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for glory, I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Go to verse 10. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servants, who I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. There's the transition from being called to being chosen. You can't just get saved and then sit back and do nothing. You know, the Word of God should be burning in your bones like a fire. You should want to have the desire to serve the Lord. We should have the desire to grow up. Everyone that is called by my name, if you're a Christian, you're called by God's name. I have created him for what? For my glory. Verse 10 says, you are my witnesses. That's what we are. We're ambassadors of Jesus Christ, saith the Lord. And my servants, we're witnesses and servants, who I have chosen. I have chosen. We didn't choose God. He chose us. When you're chosen for a reason, according to verse 10. When you're chosen, you chose and given something to do. You've been given an assignment. What's our assignment? To be witnesses. That's what it says. To be witnesses. You are my witnesses. You're his servants. That's what you were chosen to do. Not to just to sit back. In verse 25, yeah, I think that's what I want. All right, Isaiah 43. I, even I, am he that blotted out thy transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember thy sin. You know, we're under the impression that when we got saved, it was for our sake. I don't think so. It's for the glory of God. It says it right there. It was for his sake. For his sake. When you're chosen, you're given responsibility. That's the difference between called and chosen. When you're called, you got no responsibility. What's your responsibility? You don't have anything. You're just happy you're saved. No responsibility. When you become chosen, you're given responsibility. And you know what? I hate responsibility. Can't stand it. Never liked it. But if you don't accept and take on responsibility, you're going to always be that baby. That's why people like to stay babies, because they have no responsibility. Everything is fun. You get everything for free. I mean, they feed you. Your parents protect you. And you have your diaper changed when you make a mess. Unfortunately, some of us are still holding on to that. We don't want the responsibility. But you cannot stay a baby all your life. You know, when John 3:30 says, you know, this is the first, let's go there. This is the first steps when you're chosen. This is the transition that has to be made. John 3, verse 30. Simple, short verse, but right to the point. The first step in chosen is he must increase, but I must decrease. When you're a baby, everything is about you. Wah, I want my bottle. I want my toy. I want. Gimme. That's a baby's mentality. And unfortunately, sometimes I'm guilty. As a Christian, that's the way we still are. Gimme. I want. We're away from called. You're chosen. You're given a job to do. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 17, this is nothing new. This is all familiar stuff. Verse 17, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Transition again. Old things are passed away. You know, that baby stuff is gone. Behold, all things. Not a couple things, not a few things, not the things that, you know, I wanted to hold on to from before. All things are become new, and all things are of God, whom had reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and had given to us this ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciled the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and had committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, then, we are ambassadors for Christ. When you're chosen, there's your assignment. You're ambassadors for Christ. Ambassadors. What is an ambassador? An ambassador represents his nation, represents his king. And he knows his will. And he knows his thought. An ambassador doesn't go to the United Nations and go, well, I know in my heart, my head, this is what the nation and the king wants, but I'm going to tell you, forget about them. I'm going to tell you what I want. That's not an ambassador. An ambassador is going to tell you the will of his king. Matthew 6:33. You're chosen. You have a responsibility. You've been given an assignment. That transition from called to chosen, from that childlike mind to a Christian. 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek ye first. Not me anymore. Not change my diaper. Not give me strained beets so I could throw it on the floor. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And Colossians 3. Verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set. Put it in place. Immovable. Set your affection on things above, not on earthly things. Notice it says, affection, singular, not affections. Your full affection is supposed to be set upon Jesus Christ. When you go from called to chosen, that's your responsibility. That's what you're supposed to be doing. called is easy. Accepting an assignment is easy. I mean, what Christian doesn't get saved and does not want to be an ambassador of Jesus Christ? If they don't, chances are they aren't saved. Most Christians, after a while, kind of let go of those childish things. And if you're in the Word of God, and if you're around Christians, and you're in church, the transition from called to chosen is really pretty easy. It's not that hard. Take the assignment and do it. Simple. Not like when I was in school, took the assignment and don't do it, and copy off the guy next to me the next day, or give me your lunch money. No. I never did those things. Never did it. Faithful, that last thing in Revelation, faithful, this is the hard part. That's the hard part. Anybody could be called. Once you're called, you're already chosen. You're given an assignment, according to Isaiah. You're given an assignment. You have the responsibility. But when it comes to faithful, there's a transition from responsibility to accountability. Not the same thing. You know, as Pastor Mel said, it's spelt differently, so we know that. But anybody can have responsibilities, but to be held accountable for it, nobody wants that. That's one of the big things at work. You know, you got to be held accountable for your actions, held accountable for what you're doing. But nobody wants that, especially today's day and age. You know, you just put on the news and watch the, for lack of a better term, watch the criminals. They don't want to be held accountable for anything. I didn't do nothing wrong. Oh, what? What did I do wrong? I'm innocent. They're all innocent. The jail's filled with innocent guys. Or the courtrooms, or whatever. Everybody's innocent until proven guilty. According to the Word of God, you're guilty, period. Doesn't matter. You're already guilty. Nobody wants to be accountable to the Lord. Nobody wants to be accountable to responsibility. Yeah, I'll take on the responsibility, but when things don't go right, well, hey, you know, I mean, he was supposed to be doing that. I did my part of the job. I hear that all the time. Go to the book of James. Once you're accountable for something, once you're under that part of faithfulness, which is the toughest part, look at James chapter 1, verse 22. It says, there's the transition. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving who? The Lord? You ain't deceiving the Lord. What, the guy next to you? Yeah, we could fool everybody. No. It says you're deceiving your own self. When you're faithful, when you have that responsibility, you are held accountable for the Word of God. You can't just come here and hear it. We're all chosen to come and hear it. What are we doing with it? That's faithful. That's faithful. If not, we're deceiving our own selves. We are accountable for what we hear preached. I mean, think about it, folks. There's Christian churches all over the world. Man, we got the real Word of God. Could have ended up somewhere. I mean, I started out in a place where everybody had blonde hair. I thought I had to dye my hair when I got saved. And they used the NIV. I mean, I said, Lord, you saved me. I can't believe that to begin with. And then you put me in a church that's a good church, a strong church, and I got the Word of God. I'm accountable for that. That wasn't for no reason at all. I mean, I could be over at Gateway. I mean, I know people there. It's, you know, it's good. People get saved. But, you know, I just feel bad for them that they're missing the truth. And what's a shame about it, I remember, there was somebody from here years ago. It might have been Danny Colon who actually had a conversation with McAldo. And he admitted that he knew the King James Bible was the Word of God. But he says, if I said that, I'd lose my whole church. Accountability. Faithful. Faithful. We're in James. Go to chapter 2. Verse 19. I probably use this when I talk to people too much this year. Verse 19 says, thou believest there is one God. Thou dost well. The devils also believe and tremble. But will thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Now, I mean, we don't have to work for our salvation. I mean, you know, we know that. You know, by grace you are saved through faith and not yourself. We know all that stuff. But you know, it says you'll know them by their fruits. If a guy is accountable and faithful, you'll know him by his fruits. It's not enough. Because most of the world goes, oh, well, I believe in God. That's why I was going, yeah, so did the devil. The devil went right to the throne of God, according to the book of Job. Went, hey, Will, what are you doing here? Oh, where you been? Oh, I come to and fro inside the earth. Because you believe in God and because you know God doesn't mean you're faithful. Doesn't mean you answered the call. Doesn't mean you were chosen. Go to Romans 12, chapter 1. You got to remember, this is what's under faithful. All of us are called. Every man who Christ died for is called. They just, not everybody answers the phone. You know, they leave it, go to the message there. Romans 12. Verse 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Transformed. Transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's faithful. That's accountability. That's acceptable and perfect will of God. The problem with the faithful part, when you really think about it and look at it, go to 1 Peter. When you first get saved, it's always a dangerous time. Don't get me wrong. That's when you're most vulnerable. And that's when, you know, all the secret agents for Christ and Jehovah and everybody else come out of the woodwork. Because they all show up. They all show up. And when you're chosen and you're given that assignment, you know, you can do a pretty good job. You do all right. Hey, you know, God called me to do this, and you know, I'm going to church. I'm reading my Bible, you know, here and there. I'm accepting the responsibility. But the faithful part gets tough. Because if you're faithful, there's going to be persecution. And that's a lot of times when we kind of draw the line between that chosen and faithful. Because things get hard. They get difficult. Let's see, 1 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse 1 Peter chapter 1. That's tough place to start. Yeah, we'll start in verse 14. I don't want to do like George Patton. You know what George Patton used to say? The only thing wrong with preachers is when there's nothing left to be said, they keep on saying. So I'm not going to pull that. Look at verse 14. It says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which had called you is holy, so be holy. Holy in all matters of conversation, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. That's where it gets tough. That's what separates the chosen from the faithful. Let's look in chapter 3, verse 14. It says, but if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of the terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of hope, that is in you with meekness and fear. You know what? When you suffer for the righteous sake, when you suffer for Christ, when you're persecuted, you know what you're supposed to be? Poor me. I witnessed to that guy. I gave him a track. He called me a dirty name. He made fun. So you're supposed to be happy. I usually don't get too happy when that happens. We're supposed to be happy. When you suffer for well-doing, you're supposed to be happy. Verse 17 says, for it is better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. So guess what? If you made your own trouble and you're suffering because you're a knucklehead, there's no glory in that. You know, what can I tell you? But if you're being persecuted and you're suffering because you have a desire to serve the Lord because you want to get out of that baby stage and you want to get to the stage of being faithful, then you got something there. And that's what makes being faithful tough. You're not going to come riding back, according to Pastor Mike. You're not going to come riding back on that water arm again if you're not called, chosen, and faithful. You're missing one of those things. You know, guess what? You'll be back there with me doing permanent latrine duty. That's what's going to happen. Go to chapter 4, 1 Peter. In verse 11, it says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever. Amen. Beloved, think it not strange, considering the fiery trials which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye shall be made glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. And their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other man's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. You know what? If you're faithful, guess what? Don't think it's strange, like some think, why, Lord, why? I did what you said. Don't think it's strange. You're going to suffer. There's going to be persecution. It's natural. It's part of growing up. It's part of growing up. He preached that thing a couple Wednesday nights ago, and man, I looked at that faithful thing, and this is just a portion. I started thinking, oh my gosh. I said, do I fit into the faithful? Yeah, I'm saved. Oh, I'm on my way to heaven. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. According to God's word, yeah. Was I chosen to give him something to do? You bet. You bet. My biggest fear is maybe I was chosen to do something and I didn't do it. You ever think maybe you might have been called to go to another country? And maybe you missed it? Ooh, frightening stuff. Frightening stuff. Just think, Lord, man, get me out of New York City. Get me out of here. Now I'm to the point, get me off this planet. I want out. I want out of here. I am homesick. What's that song? I'm homesick for a place I've never been before. Never been there. But boy, I sure like to get on that faithful thing. I don't know how, but one way or another, I'm going to get out of that baby stage. I'm going to get out of that chosen stage. And I want to try to get on that faithful thing. Yeah, my family probably, they get on my case because I like to watch the shows from the 40s and the 30s. You know, and they want to watch all this Bachelor and all this stupid nonsense, Dancing with the Stars, and you know, all these moronic shows. But I like Andy Griffith. I love Andy Griffith. How can you watch the same thing over and over and over? It don't matter, I fall asleep anyhow. What's the difference? But there was an episode that I loved. There was a guy, he shows up into town. Total stranger. Stranger, nobody knew him. He will go, hey, Lenny, what's going on? How's things happening? Lenny shakes his hand and looking at him. Where the hell do I know this guy from? Then he goes, hey, Claude, man, I like your hat. All right, cool. Man, how's things? How's business? Claude's going, who the heck is this guy? Anyhow, this guy's going around town. He knows everybody. And he knows everything about him. And people are starting to freak out. You know, I don't know. Going to Floyd's barbershop. Hey, Floyd, hey, make sure you don't cut Barney's thing shorter than the other. And they're all looking. Before you know it, they think the guy's an alien. Guy's going around town. Knows everybody. Knows everything about the people there. Knows about the town. Goes to some girl's house. Knows her name. Knows her favorite color. Knows what she likes to do. Guy wants to court her. Man, she's calling Andy. She's calling Andy and Barney. Barney's ready to take the bullet out of his pocket, put in the gun, and arrest the guy. They think he's a Martian. Well, it turns out this guy was in the military with somebody. And he had no family. He had no friends. And he used to read this guy's letters that he would get from home. He would read everything. He started subscribing to the newspaper in town. So he knew all the news. He knew about everybody. And he had a desire. I want that for myself. I want that to be my hometown. So he just finally up and went one day and said, guess what? Mayberry is my hometown. And that's all it was. You know what? I haven't been to heaven. But you know what? I've been reading all the letters. I know the people that are there. I got quite a few. I mean, you hang around in this church for a long time, 1980. Say goodbye to a lot of people. I got friends over on the other side. This guy had got to the point where he even chose his bride before he even met her. Man, I'm a spouse to somebody. Never been there. Never been there. But boy, I'm homesick. And I don't want to just get there anymore. I'm out of that baby stage. You know what? Yeah, okay. You know, if that's my lot in life. I mean, I'm sure there's no toilets in heaven. Give me a break, you know. I'm sure there isn't. But I don't want to be in the nosebleed seats. When that war Armageddon comes back, yeah, I probably won't be right behind Mel. I might be pretty far back. But I want to be there. I want to be heading back. I want to be heading back. Boy, I tell you, I got my sword It's all marked up. It's all sharpened. I'm keeping it in good shape. Man, are you faithful? Are we? I'm sure there's probably nobody who's just called. All of us have been chosen. Dang. He read that thing. Blew me away. Blew me away. How many times have I read the book of Revelation? I never saw that before. I just figured, well, that's us. No, don't seem that way. Doesn't he make you mad sometimes? No, I didn't mean that. I mean, when the word of God cuts your heart and cuts right through to your soul, that's what it's supposed to do. Now, praise the Lord. I hope I didn't depress anybody. If anything, I hope the word of God encouraged you. You do with it what between you and the Spirit of God. That's the way it works. That's the way it works. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your mercy. Lord, thank you for saving us and putting a song in our heart.